Turn in your Bibles tonight to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. Revelation 17 talks about the fall of religious Babylon. And we'll get into that. There's chapter 18, which is the fall of one world government and one world economic system. In the tribulation period, there will be a one world religion. There will be a one world government. There will be a one world economic system. We can see signs today of how that is happening. All the pieces necessary are falling in place for this. But this is strictly dealing with false religion. False religion is one of the instruments that the Antichrist will use to control things. And tonight we see that that will all be destroyed. So we're looking at all of chapter 17. There's 18 verses in there. And we're talking about the fall of religious Babylon. There are several symbols and several pictures of things happening here on a spiritual level that we need to look at. In the first six verses, we see the harlot and the beast. The Bible calls her a great whore. She's a prostitute. Not in the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense. And in verses 1 and 2, we see the great harlot. And it says, and there came one of the seven angels. So put this in context. This chapter follows this chapter 16, which we talked about, the bowl or the vial judgments. And so one of these seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. The tribulation period does two things. It's to bring Israel to God, and it's to judge sin in the world. And it says here in verse 2, it says, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. In verse 1 here, we see the great harlot and we see her fault. Okay? Because she is basically drawing people away from God. And this is not a woman. This is a religious system. The word here for judgment is crimea, where crime comes from. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29, when we talk about the Lord's Supper, it says, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation. The word for damnation is the same one for judgment here in verse 1. Not discerning what? The Lord's body. This false religion doesn't discern God in any way. It's kind of like what Timothy says, or what Paul writes to Timothy, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And so we see her fault, it's all false religion. We see her followers. She sitteth upon many waters. Revelation chapter 17, verse 15, gives the answer for what the waters are. Now we've been talking about plagues on the sea, but this is a different thing. This is waters of nations and people. Because in verse 15 of this chapter it says, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. The implication here is that this religion encompasses everybody. It's ecumenical. Okay? And there's no part of God in it at all. The Antichrist and Satan is behind it, and we will get to that in a minute. So in verse 1, we see her fault. In verse 1, we also see her followers. She sitteth upon many waters. In verse 2, we see her faithlessness. This fornication is talking about spiritual adultery. God, the Father, had problems with Israel, God's chosen people, with this. He said, I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people. But they keep on going away and away and away. Today, there's a lot of people that say God is God and they're God, but their life doesn't even reflect that. Give you an example. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8. And he said, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed what? Adultery. Now, fornication is any immorality outside of marriage, and Israel's married to Jehovah. And it said, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister, Judah, feared not, but went and played the harlot also. Don't sit back there and say, well, it's not me. We're all capable of this. And in this case, everyone is doing this. Because the great harlot is controlling all people. So we see here the great harlot in verses 1 and 2. Then we need to understand the harlot's appearance in verses 3 and 4. It says, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. Now we already know from Revelation 12 that the dragon is what color? Red. Okay? Full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns, which is the one world government. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. We see here in verse 3, we see the place that she's out. He carried John away in the spirit to the what? The wilderness. The desert place. Matthew chapter 24, verse 26, Christ warns the disciples. He says there, wherefore they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. God is where God is. Not where you think he is. And so, her position, her place, is in the wilderness, a desert. Her position in verse 3 is on this beast. And you know something? Everything that's evil in the world has one source. Satan. Okay? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against all these spiritual things. And so her position, and then in verse 4 we see her presentation. There's three things here. She has garments. Her garments are two colored. Purple means royalty. So she reigns as a queen. Red means being righteous. Okay? There are churches that, false religions, that basically have everybody dressed up in red robes. That changes nothing. The color of what you wear doesn't mean anything. Amen. So, her garments are arrayed in purple and scarlet. Her gems, she's decked with gold and with precious stones and pearls. Remember what Christ said? He says, you have all these beautiful sepulchres, but they're full of dead man's bones. He said, you're like these whitest sepulchres. Beautiful on the outside, but inside, totally dead. You know, the world's attracted to beauty. And through her beauty, she's going to draw people in to their destruction. And then we see the golden cup when I was studying this out. And that picture probably not very visible. But when I was studying this out, I'm brought back to Belshazzar. Okay? Or Belshazzar, who was Nebuchadnezzar's grand. And what was he doing? He was drinking the night that Babylon fell. He was drinking from the sacrificial cups of the temple of Jerusalem. And then he sees the writing on the wall. And this golden cup, it looks good on the outside, but it's full of death inside. And so we see the harlot's appearance, where she is, her positions on this beast, her presentation, and how she is arrayed. It's to attract, but it's just to draw you in to death. We see verses 5 and 6, we see the nature of the harlot. And it says, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and the Abominations of the Earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, verse 5, we see her titles. Okay? The first thing is, where are these titles at? On her forehead. That seems like another imitation, doesn't it? The high priest in the wilderness, when they made the garments, he had a mitre, and on that was a plate that said, Holiness to the Lord. And Satan wants to imitate all of that. So it looks right. It's in the right place. It's the wrong way. Okay? It's a mystery. Because isn't that how religions work? They keep you in the dark and feed you full of death. At the same time, we don't know all the things about the tribulation period. We know just enough to know it's coming. We know just enough to know what happened in there. We know just enough to know that you don't want to be there. And we know just enough to understand God's plan through this. It says, Babylon the Great. You know something? If you go back from the Tower of Babel, all the way through false religions, it all comes from Babylon. The Tower of Babylon was in Shinar. Babylon. Rachel. Remember Rachel? When she left, she stole her idols from Laban. Where was he living? In Babylon. Where all the false religions come from? In Babylon. So this is just not one false religion. This is the root of all of them. You either serve God or you don't. And if you don't serve God, you're serving Satan. Right. It's black and white. Okay? And she is the mother of harlots. All these religions, all the things that don't talk about the truth, they are spiritual adultery. And she is the mother of all of them. All false religions come from that same root cause.
Right.
And abominations of the earth, because sin is an abomination to God. And all man's righteousness is as filthy rags.
Amen.
We see all these titles and they all fall short. They look good, they sound good, but they're no good. Verse 6, we see her trespasses. In her trespasses, she said, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. All through eternity, false religion has persecuted true faith. And people, it has cost their lives to stand up for the holy God. And the saints here are Old Testament saints. The martyrs of Jesus are New Testament saints, and also the ones that go through the tribulation period. And this was an impressive and a fearful thing that John saw. And he stood there in awe. And he said, I wondered with great admiration. So we see this harlot here. We see all the things that she stands for. We see her appearance. We see what she's been doing. Now, in verses 7 through 14, we see the beast. Because who's on the beast? Well, the harlot, okay? In verses 7 and 8, we see the mystery of the beast. Now, in this case, this mystery is Old Testament prophecy that's now being revealed. It was even revealed to Daniel when he was given it. And it says, "And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel?" Now, here's a lesson for all of us. We shouldn't be enamored with sinful things. We should not be enamored with false things. We should be loving, we should love the truth and follow the truth. Okay? You know, David said, "Well, why do the wicked prosper all the time? And I'm always in here." We should not be following that way. We should be following God's way. And the angel said to me, "Wherefore did thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carried her, which had the 7 heads and 10 horns." And here's starting the answer. "The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is." Once again, we see the invitation of Satan and his agents for God. You know, God is which was and is to come. He tries to imitate everything that God does. The mystery of the beast here to John is revealed by God. If you don't understand something spiritually, you need to go to God.
Amen.
Because they must be spiritually discerned. There's a lesson in here for us. Don't try to think it out. Don't go look for some self-help book. Don't go. Go to God's Word. And then pray. And He'll give you understanding. He'll guide us into what? All truth. He teacheth all things. So it's revealed by God. And this picture that we see here is related to previous revelation that John's already had. If you turn back a couple of chapters, Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, and it says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea." Same picture. Having what? 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Same beast. It's the same Antichrist. "And the beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." So this is truly the Antichrist here. There are actually two beasts. There's the first beast, which is this one, and then there's a second beast that comes out of the ground, which is the false prophet. And so these pictures, if you're familiar with Daniel, should remind you of something. And it says, "And I saw one of his heads as if it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power to the beast." Because who's behind all this? Satan. "And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him?" People like to beat on their chests. "Oh, I am big. I am great." No. You know, when somebody is flamboyant, they're probably very weak.
Right.
And they know they can be defeated. And so we see the beast is being talked about in verse 7, in chapter 17, the exact same one that's in chapter 13. In verses 9 through 14, we see the 7 heads and the 10 horns. It says, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen. One is. One is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and kings of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So when we go and we break this passage down, we see first of all that we need wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs says in chapter 2, chapter 3, that we need to seek wisdom with all our getting. But let's go back to where this first occurred and this vision. It occurred when Nebuchadnezzar had a vision. And he starts seeing this. And remember the story, how Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and it went away. And then he said, I'm going to kill everybody because no one can tell me the dream. And Daniel said, well, wait a second, that's a little hasty. Let me pray to God and see what God tells me. And in verse 23 of chapter 2 of Daniel, it says, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, have given me what? Wisdom and might. Don't take anything else out here. If you want wisdom, ask God.
Amen.
If you want power, ask God. And hath made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. So in verse 9 it says, and here is the mind that hath wisdom, and that's the mind of Christ. When we read God's word, we need the mind of Christ. We need the Holy Spirit. We need God present in order to make sense out of this. In verse 10, we see world kingdoms identified. Now, some theologians basically says, okay, well, this is Julius Caesar, and this is Augustine, and this is all, these are the five emperors before Nero, and Nero killed himself, and then Domitian was the one that was present there, and then there was another one behind him. Yeah. It doesn't match up with what Daniel says. Okay? There are five kingdoms up to the point of John's revelation. The first big kingdom was Egypt. It was supplanted by the Assyrians, which was supplanted by the Babylonians, which was supplanted by the Persians, which was supplanted by the Greeks. And we can go to world history and we find out these guys of Alexander the Great and Sennacherib, things that are talked about in the Bible, because the Bible is true.
Amen.
It says here, it says that there are seven kings, five are fallen, those empires gone, and one is. They are presently in the Roman Empire. Okay? And then it says, and the other is not yet come, and this talks about the Antichrist. And he's going to continue a short space. In terms of years of ruling, it'll be short compared to all these other empires. Verse 11 talks about an eighth kingdom as the Antichrist again. And we'll see the answer here in this chapter. Now, so we see you need wisdom. We see that God basically says, hey, all this stuff in the past is going to be, gives us confidence that what's going to happen in the future is going to happen. And then in verses 12 and 14, we see 10 kings. In verse 12, we see their accession. It says, and the ten horns which thou sawest, or the ten crowns which we see, are what? Ten kings. So what are they? Ten kings. Bible says it. We got to believe it, okay? Which have not received, no kingdom as yet. Now remember, if you go back to the Roman Empire, there was King Agrippa and King Herod and all these other things. And they had their little kingdoms, but they were part of the what? Roman Empire. They got their power from who? Rome. These kings would get their power from who? The Antichrist. It's the same process. It's the same process here. However, let's link this up to Daniel. We could go off and talk about this for hours. I don't want to do that. Okay? In Daniel chapter 2, verses 41 and 42, this is the dream that Daniel interpreted. And Nebuchadnezzar saw this big statue. Okay? Out in the plain of Shinar. But we'll go back there. It says, and there was a head of gold and brass and all that other stuff. Okay? Verse 41, it says, and where is thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of the iron, because there's pieces of the iron in here, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Now, if you remember the mess of the dream, as us things standing up, and he sees this, a great stone or mediator comes out of heaven and hits the statue and breaks everything up. And that represents Christ. That represents God. So we see their accession. Who gives them the power? The Antichrist. The beast does. Okay? Which is their authority in verse 13. It says, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. They are puppet kings. They have no authority on their own. They will do what the Antichrist says to do. And then in activity, in verse 14, they make war with the what? With the Lamb. Okay? We've talked about where does the Lamb overcome them all? From what chapter 16 says, Armageddon. Okay? Now, we're going to skip verse 15 because we already used it. And basically, it just gives a picture of what the sea and the waters are. They're just nations and peoples. Okay? But it's everybody. In verses 16 through 18, we see the destruction of the religious Babylon. You know, what caused Satan to revolt? Pride. What caused the Antichrist to come into the temple and do the abomination desolation? Pride. Okay? When you get power, it what? Corrupts. And absolute power corrupts.
Absolutely.
So, guess what? Verse 16, these kings revolt. First of all, they only have how much power? 1 hour, right? And they get it from the beast. Verse 16, it says, and the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. You know why? Because people in leadership, people in position, don't want to be told what to do. And shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Here's the point. This is all going to fall apart because now there's infighting between the agents of Satan. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to what? Desolation. And every city of or house divided against itself shall not stand. And here's the point. This eighth kingdom is coming. And then it goes into perdition. And perdition is God's judgment on sin. So we see in verse 16 the revolt of the kings. We see in verse 17 the reason for the revolt. It says, "For God hath put in their hearts," whose heart? The king's. "To fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the word of God shall be fulfilled." You have no control over your life. God does. You have no control over the world situation. God does. You have no control over how things go. God does. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord." Even our current leaders and our future leaders in this country. And we need to pray for them. "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth whithersoever he will." And you need to be watching. Y'all know what happened in Syria? The regime of Assad fell. And they think that Islamics have taken over Syria. Israel's being circled by all this. When you see these things, lift up your head, and redemption draweth nigh. It's a whole lot closer than it was last year and 10 years ago. So we see the revolt of the kings. We see the reason for the revolt, because this is all God's plan. And then in verse 18, we see the revealing of the woman. Now, the woman sat in a city that had seven hills. Okay? Rome was a city set on seven hills. It could be Cincinnati too, but nah. Okay, that would work. Okay? But Rome at that time, but look at verse 18 here. And I'm going to make the case for this is talking about Rome and the revival of an empire. It says, "And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." And what is the name of the woman? Mystery Babylon. Okay? Peter writes this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. He says, "The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so does Marcus," or John Mark, "my son." And Peter was in Rome. So here is a multiple people giving the same answer, same reference to the city. If you look at the Roman Empire and basically what's going on in Europe now with the EU, those maps are really close. And so there is going to be a revived Roman Empire here. Okay? And so, how is this all going to happen? Through false religion. You know, there's going to be independent Baptists in the tribulation period because they missed the rapture.
Yes, sir.
There's going to be Southern Baptists that miss the rapture. There's going to be Roman Catholics going to the rapture.
Amen.
And left over, there's all these people left over, and they're going to, boy, there's some interesting things going on. We're going to find God. And they're going to unite to try to find God, and they're going to find the Antichrist instead. And they're going to find the great whore. And they're going to follow the great whore. And it's going to lead them all into judgment and all into destruction. We're not going to be here. You don't want to be here. And God will give you a free ticket out of here if you have a relationship with the Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This world's not my home. I'm just passing through.
Amen.
So the point here is do not live in the lie of religion.
Amen.
We cannot live this way. It's wrong now. It's wrong in the future. And God will judge it. So what are you trusting in to get to heaven? Are you trusting in what you're doing? Are you trusted in who you know? You need to know Christ. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to study your word. Father, I just ask you as time and invitation, Lord, help us, Lord, to follow you. And Father, help us to be more like you. Father, we thank you for showing us the future. We thank you for giving us understanding, Lord. But help us, Lord, to use that understanding to encourage people to come to you, a saving knowledge of you. Lord, give us grace tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.